to Victory Christian Fellowship, you're helping us preach the gospel. Amen? Your tithes and your offerings, they go to take care of everything that we need to preach the gospel. So I just appreciate your faithfulness and you listening to God. Father, we just give you thanks and praise. You are so good. You have enabled us, Father, by getting money to us. And Lord, we are so honored to be able to give to you. So we honor you with our substance, Lord, and the first fruits of all of our increase. And our barns will be filled with plenty, and our vats will burst out with new wine. And we give you thanks and praise. May a blessing come upon every gift and every giver. In Jesus' name, amen. And you can do that anytime during the service. Well, what are we looking into tonight? We started last week. We're talking about spiritual gifts. It is part of the equipment that God has given to his church to serve him. All right, if you have your Bibles, I want you to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm excited. You know, how many know that God knows how to get in touch with you? Well, I just heard a testimony this evening. And, you know, we serve a supernatural God. Well, this person told me that they were by their car, and all of a sudden, they heard this noise. It was their phone that was going off with one of our sermons, right? And, I just thought that that was so cool, how God can use the most unique things, you know, just to let us know that he's watching over us. This person said that they're not that kind of a technical person, but all of a sudden things came on with one of our messages on their phone, and they didn't know how to shut it off. But praise God, God is so good. I'll tell you what. I was going to tell a story. It's good to have my parents here, my mom and dad, Art and Barb Pishka. I was going to tell a story of my mom, but I'm not going to do that tonight. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Look at your neighbor and say, I don't want you to be ignorant. So obviously, he put that statement in there so that we can know and understand these gifts that have been given to the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit. Say, these are gifts. And I want you to understand that it's a gift. We can't earn it, but God simply gives us these gifts. And he said, you know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols. I got a little carried away last week about the dumb idols, but even as you were led, wherefore I give you to understand. Notice that God wants you to understand. All right, understanding comes from him. That no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Okay, we have some different gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. The way these gifts are carried out or administered, they're ministered in different ways. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which works all in all. So these gifts, they operate differently. Each gift is distinct. Now they can operate together as a combined thing, but each of them are distinct. What I mean by that is, you know, for example, gifts of healing operate when it comes to sickness and disease, okay? And then working of miracles operate when you need to alter a natural law. Okay, we're going to get into that a little bit Verse 7 is the key. But the manifestation of the Spirit, the manifestation is when the Spirit of God is operating these gifts. Okay? It's the showing of the gift. It's the revealing of the gift. It's the operating of the gift. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit. So God gives these gifts so that everybody can benefit, everybody can profit. All right? These gifts are to strengthen the body. Okay? Are you with me so far? All right. I want to say some things about this, and then we're going to get into the different ones. So this is spiritual equipment given to you by your Heavenly Father through faith in Jesus Christ. All right? To operate these gifts is going to require faith. All right? You have to receive the gift by faith, and you have to operate in it by faith. In other words, you're going to have to step out into the unknown. Okay? And these gifts are the manifestation of the Holy Spirit's presence and power that enrich God's body. Okay? Spiritual gifts are provided for us. Okay? If, you know, the giver of the gift owns the gift before they give it, right? So these gifts are provided for us. These gifts are promised to us. Okay? Jesus said, the works that I do, you shall do also. You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you to be witnesses. These gifts are available to every child of God through faith in Jesus Christ. So, you know, as you grow in your sensitivity to the Lord, you can become skilled in operating these gifts when they're in operation. Okay? How many know that just sitting in a car doesn't turn the car on? You either have to turn a key or press a button, right? Well, the same thing is true with the spiritual gifts. Just because people sit in church doesn't mean that they're going to operate in them, okay? The spiritual gifts are always, they always have an element of the supernatural, okay? These gifts come suddenly and fully. And of course, these gifts are separate and distinct from each other. Okay, let's read on in verse 8. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, verse 9, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these work that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. So the Holy Spirit is the one who divides these to people. Now we have three categories here, okay? What category do you think the word of wisdom belongs in? The word of wisdom. Does it reveal something? Does it give you power? Or does it inspire you? Revelation? Okay. So we have the word of wisdom. Okay. Whoa. Be good. Don't jump out in front of me. Okay, how about the word of knowledge? Does that reveal something? Does that show power? Or does that inspire? Okay. All right. How about faith? Where would faith go? Power? Very good. So far, you all get A's. Okay? And the next one, gifts of healing. Okay? Very good. How about the working of miracles? Very good. And how about prophecy? Inspire? Very good. My black is running out. And discerning of spirits, where would that go? Revelation. Very good. Okay. And then we have the last two. Where do you think they go? I'm just going to put tongues because there's two things there and I'm running out of ink. All right. So let's talk about each of these. Okay? I'm going to touch a little bit about what we talked about last week, then we're going to move on to the next three. All right? Now, as I talk to you about these, I'm not talking about them in order of their category. I'm just talking about them in order how they're listed, all right? But you can see, you can understand the different categories. Okay, by the word of wisdom, it is where God's wisdom is imparted to man. It's a supernatural revelation of the mind and purposes of God communicated by the Holy Spirit. So it's a supernatural revelation regarding the mind and the purposes of God. Word of wisdom. Okay? It can come through visions, dreams, angels, or audible voice. It can come many ways. And it kind of reveals what God wants to do in the earth. As an example, you know, only Joseph understood what God was going to do with 7 years of plenty followed by 7 years of famine. It was revealed to Joseph. Pharaoh had the dream. He didn't understand the dream, and he needed someone to basically give wisdom. And this was something that was going to take place in the earth, and God was revealing it. And so Joseph was able to prepare. And in the times of plenty, he set some aside. In the times of famine, everybody came to Egypt and bought grain. So in those 7 years of famine, even Egypt became very wealthy, extremely wealthy, more wealthy than what they were, because all the countries round about Egypt had to come to Egypt. Anyway, all right, let's go to the word of knowledge. All right, this is the Greek word gnosos or gnosis. And it's the act of knowing. And it's, you know, the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge, they can work together. They're buddies. They're companions. It's a supernatural revelation of the existence or nature of a person, a thing, or the knowledge of some event. In other words, on the spot, instantaneously, God reveals something to you that maybe is known, but you don't know it. But all of a sudden, he downloads it to you, and you know it. An example is Jesus at the well of Samaria. He told the lady, he said, go get your husband. She said, I don't have a husband. He said, you said correctly, you've had four husbands, and the man you are living with now is not your husband. How did he know that? That was revealed to him by the Holy Spirit. That was a word of knowledge that the Holy Spirit gave Jesus. And what did he do with that knowledge? He helped that woman. You see how you're going to see how these gifts benefit people. Okay? And, there's a lot of different examples, and I'm not going to go over the examples of these three tonight. The third one in the list is faith. This is a gift of faith, okay? This is not the same faith that a person accepts salvation with, all right? It's faith to move mountains. It especially shows up when you're in danger, okay? The gift of faith, it has a lot to do with danger. It's a persuasion. It's a constancy in a profession as far as, professing words. It's a supernatural operation of the Holy Spirit which enables the possessor to sustain an unwavering trust in God for personal protection or provision. And, it can bring about supernatural transportation. It's a gift of faith. It is a power gift. All right? When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they were thrown into the fiery furnace, do you think that would be a dangerous situation? Okay? They were literally thrown into an oven that was seven times hotter than what it should have been. And what happened? God showed up. Were they harmed? No. They, even at the threat of being thrown in, they could answer the king confidently that no matter what he did, they weren't going to bow. They had an unwavering trust in God. And God used that. He used the gift of faith to protect them. Okay? All right, that's where we stopped last week. Now let's get into the gifts of healing. I want you to notice that the Bible lists the gifts of healing. This is the only one that's listed as plural gifts. How many has ever seen a bunch of grapes? Okay, you have a lot of grapes connected to one vine or whatever, right? Well, the gifts of healing are like that bunch of grapes, okay? Some people can be gifted for certain diseases more than others. I found in my own life how God used me more with people with respiratory problems. From the time that I went to Fiji in 93, I had my first healing meeting in Fiji. And seven people responded to the altar call. And this one woman had some severe respiratory problems. Well, she got healed. It's just something that I've noticed that God used me more. In other words, I had better results with respiratory problems than others. Okay? Now, does that mean if someone doesn't have a gift of healing, does that mean that healing's not available? Absolutely not. See, here's the beauty of these things. You can have wisdom from God by studying the Word and listening to the Holy Spirit, but this is like a supernatural, in-the-moment type thing. Okay? These gifts don't come about by natural means. All right, and the gifts of healing, the word gifts is the word charisma, which is interesting. It means a divine gratuity. It means deliverance from danger. It's a spiritual endowment. These are just the definitions from Strong's. I just looked at the word and what the word actually means in the Greek. Okay? And the gifts of healing refer to the power received from the Holy Spirit to cure diseases. Okay? And part of the definition, it means to pardon or to rescue, which I thought was interesting. Or to grant a cure, to make whole. And we know that healing can come about in more than one way. This is just one way that God uses. Okay? And the reason that God gives this gift is, you know, he wants to alleviate people's suffering. It's never God's will for people to suffer. Never. But then the question is, well, why do people suffer? They don't suffer because it's God's will. Amen? How many know that it's God's will for everybody to be saved? Is everybody saved? No. Because for whatever reason, they're not hooking up or connecting with what God wants. Maybe a lack of knowledge, it could be a lot of things. Okay? But these are gifts of healing where people are healed by the power of the Holy Spirit. How many know the story of Naaman? Okay? He was a leper, right? He was a soldier. And he had leprosy. And he heard about a prophet in Israel named Elisha. And one of his servants said, you know, Naaman, they probably said, sir, if you go down to Israel, you can get healed. Well, how many know he believed that? What did he do? He went down to Israel. And when he got to the prophet's house, now, the prophet didn't even meet him himself. The prophet sent out his servant Gehazi. And Gehazi said to Naaman, go wash in the pool of Jordan 7 times. Now, is there healing water in the Jordan? Sometimes the gifts are attached with an instruction. And Naaman, He got angry at first. Number one, because the prophet didn't meet him himself. Number two, because he thought the Jordan was kind of filthy. And he thought that rivers in his own country were much better, much cleaner. If I'm going to take a bath, I'm going to take a bath in clean water. But aren't you glad he overcame his pride? See, his pride could have hindered what God wanted to do, which is always the case. Pride will always hinder you. But he yielded to the instruction, and he did what the prophet said 7 times. You don't think that there's some spiritual, supernatural gift in that? Because many people walked in the Jordan in that day, but not a lot. You know, they didn't get healed when they walked in the Jordan, but he did. Because this was in operation. Okay? I mean, who got the glory from this healing? God did. See, God sometimes uses the simple things that we don't think are so great. He uses the simple things to bring about his will. Okay? And the Bible said that when he came out of the water the 7th time, his skin was like that of a baby. His skin was restored. So, that was an example of gifts of healing. I mean, there were many times when Jesus touched people or people touched Jesus, and sometimes it was by faith, sometimes it was supernatural, but we can see that very clearly in the Word of God. And oftentimes, the gifts of healing are manifested through the laying on of hands. I know Brother Hagin, he's one of my mentors. Oftentimes, he would describe after the Lord told him that he would use him in this gift, his hands would get hot. And he knew that the Holy Spirit wanted to move, and he would simply touch people with his hot hands and they would become instantly healed or It was a supernatural thing in that moment. His hands weren't hot all the time, but when they were, he knew that the Holy Spirit wanted to operate and manifest this gifts of healing. Okay? And the thing with every gift, there has to be some earnestness on our part. We have to, you know, the best way to position yourself to operate in these gifts is to stay as close to God as possible. Amen? And the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 14 or 13 to seek the best gifts. We ought to be actively looking for, expecting, you know, because these gifts are operated as the Spirit wills, so we can't necessarily turn them off and on. We simply yield to them when he wants to operate them. All right? In other words, he is the vehicle. You just get into the boat and let the vehicle take you where it wants to go. Amen? And that's all we have to do with these gifts. So if you feel like the gifts of healing wants to be operated in you, just yield yourself. And you know what? The Holy Spirit will show you exactly what to do. If you need to say something, if you need to do something, he will prompt you. Because he's a good coach. He's gracious. All right? He's not going to push you out on the stage without giving you a script. Amen? The Holy Spirit doesn't expect you to ad lib. He just expects you to step out in faith. Okay? How many know that you have to be able to trust God when he tells you to do something? Because you may not understand why he tells you to do something, but in that element of trust, that's what's going to help you step out, and that's what's going to bring God's power. Okay? There's a lot of times I did things that I didn't understand what I was doing, but I found out later that, okay, yeah, it produced good results. Okay? Now, you got to understand, too, that there's a difference between the gifts of healing and when they're in manifestation versus divine healing as a personal possession. Can you understand that based on what Jesus did when he walked this earth, what was his attitude towards sickness? What was Jesus' attitude towards sickness? Did he ever turn anybody that came to him away said, I'm sorry, I can't heal you right now? The Bible says that everyone who came to him, notice that's key. Everyone who came to him that were dealing with sickness and disease were healed. And a lot were healed by the gifts of healing. Others were healed by faith. Others were healed, you know, various ways. Sometimes Jesus touched them. Sometimes they touched Jesus. Sometimes he just spoke a word. But we know that there's different ways to administer, different ways to operate, but it's all the same Holy Ghost. Amen? All right, let's go on to the next one. The working of miracles. Okay? The working of miracles. It signifies those powers which were enabled at particular times to work miraculously to others. And we know that Jesus is a miracle worker, don't we? He does work miracles, but you know you're not supposed to live by miracles. You're supposed to live by faith. But how many times do we see people trying to live by miracles? They try to go from one miracle to the next. But that's not how we're supposed to live. Thank God for miracles when they come. But we're supposed to live by faith. We're supposed to be steady, steadfast, you know, one day at a time, one step at a time. We're supposed to walk by faith, not by sight. What did Jesus tell people who were seeking only the sign? He called them a wicked and evil generation. But when you seek Jesus, signs will come. He will give you a sign. That's the beauty of it. I'm just not seeking the sign. Okay? The working of miracles, the Greek word is energeo. You think we get our word energy from that? It's spelled pretty close. It means to be active and efficient and effectual. It means to be mighty, to show itself in work. And then it speaks of miraculous power or ability, power, strength, and might. Okay? There were a lot of people that did miracles in the Bible. All right? The working of miracles is a sign of the presence and power of God. It can provide for your needs. It can confirm the word that was preached. And it can give evidence of a divine commission. How did God convince Moses that he was his man to go into Egypt? There were two things, his hand and his staff. God said, throw your staff down. What happened when he threw his staff down? Now that's a miracle. When a piece of wood becomes a serpent. And then he said, put your hand inside your cloak. And what happened? He took it out and it was what? White or leprous. Then he put it back in and it was healed. You know, God performed miracles to convince Pharaoh to let his people go. How many know that God knows how to give you heavenly persuasion? You know, I just want to believe you by faith, God. You don't have to persuade me. So this is a sign of the presence and power of God. Of course, it can provide for you. And the working of miracles is the mighty power of God flowing through a person. How you distinguish between working of miracles and faith? Faith is a divine operation that will protect you, but working of miracles actually flows through you. Okay? You get to participate in God's power. Isn't that cool? In other words, then, you become a vessel. Isn't that what Timothy said? To be a vessel of honor, meet for the master's use, prepared unto every good work. What do you do with a vessel? You put something in it. You fill it. Amen? So if you're a vessel, God fills you with the Holy Spirit so that when you are able to work, then you're prepared with something on the inside. Amen? That's how it works. I love that. God is so cool. Are we learning some things about the gifts tonight? Why are we talking about this? So that we can operate in them. Faith comes by what? And hearing the what? So when you're hearing about gifts, your faith is being built up to operate in them. Amen? Amen? So I want to see you just expect these to happen in your life. You don't have to set the time or you don't have to put it on your calendar. You just have to be available. Just be available for God to use one of these gifts through you. Okay? These are the Holy Spirit's gifts, and he gives them to anybody he wants to. So when you operate in a gift, in a working of miracles, you participate in the omnipotence of God. That was so cool. So in other words, God gives you the ability to work a miracle. Were there any miracles that were done in the book of Acts? So that tells me when Jesus left, he was still doing miracles. through the disciples, through the apostles. So, you know, there was all kinds of miracles. If you know the story of Elymas in Acts 13, he was opposing Paul. Paul was trying to preach the gospel, and Elymas was a sorcerer. And he was there opposing Paul. What happened to Elymas? Paul called him blind. And supernaturally, Elymas in that moment became blind, because that was the operation of the working of miracles. Okay? Joshua, he wanted to finish a battle. So what did he do? He prayed that the sun would stop. And the sun stood still so that he could complete the battle. If that's not a miracle, you know, I don't know what is. Okay, the working of miracles glorifies the God of all power. This gift, it stimulates faith, and it astounds and confounds the wicked. You know, sometimes people just need to know that God is God. And he will just supernaturally show himself in the moment. Like even at a wedding, Jesus performed his first miracle. What did they need at the wedding? Did you know that miracles can come in the form of party supplies? They needed wine, but they didn't have any wine. But what did they have? Does water even produce wine? Wine comes from grapes. And of course, you know, Jesus said, it's not my time. And Mary, I love the faith of Mary. She just didn't care what he said. She just told the servants, whatever he says, do it. So he said, fill the pots with water. And the servants are thinking in their mind, wait a minute, they need wine. If we give this to the host, we're going to be in trouble. We're going to lose our job. But they did it, thank God. What happened? By the time they took the water out for the governor to test it, it went from being water to wine. That's a miracle. It suspended the law, the supernatural, or the natural laws that are already in place. I looked this up once. Fermentation is a process. It doesn't happen overnight. Not only did Jesus not use the source for wine, but he totally sped up the process. That's a miracle. When something can come suddenly and suspend the natural laws that are already in place. It's not natural for a guy to walk on water, but Jesus did. It wasn't natural to speak to a storm, but yet Jesus spoke to a storm and the storm became calm. Maybe you need to speak to some of your storms in your life. Amen. When you're feeling stressed out, it's time to speak to those things that are stressing you out. Amen. Okay? The working of miracles, it's an active gift that accomplishes miracles. It's the supernatural demonstration of the power of God. And it'll help you overcome evil. Like when Elijah took on the prophets of Baal. What was his criteria? The God who answers by fire is the real one. And aren't you glad that, you know, Christianity is the only thing that does miracles. I never heard of a miracle that Allah does. Or Buddha, or any others. Okay, so do you have a grasp on the working of miracles? I mean, obviously we could go into more detail, but you know, you can only do so much in this time that we have. All right, the final one that we're going to look at tonight is prophecy. Okay, so we've done the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, faith, healing, miracles. Now we're on prophecy. Okay? And we will get to discerning of spirits and tongues and interpretation of tongues next week. So prophecy is a gift. You know, there is a specific use of prophecy, and then there is a general use of prophecy. Okay? It's important to know that. The Greek word is prophetia, and it has the connotation of prediction or a foreteller, also an inspired speaker. So the basic definition of prophecy is inspired utterance. You didn't think this thought, but all of a sudden you were inspired to speak something. And when you operate in the gift of prophecy, it will always, 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 always be to edification, exhortation, and comfort. Anybody who operates in the gift of prophecy, it'll always be to edify, to exhort or encourage, or to comfort. Okay? So if someone's prophesying, you know, doom and gloom, that's not what we're dealing with. That can be a part of it, but we're just dealing with this part right now. Okay? The basic form of it, inspired utterance. Okay? It means to show or make known one's thoughts, to affirm or to say. Through the gift of prophecy, you can get people's attention. Have you ever been in a class or something and the teacher did something to get your attention? In high school, I had a math teacher that if you were sleeping in his class, he would chuck his eraser at your head. And one time, one guy was falling asleep and he got hit in the head and knocked his glasses off. But see, prophecy can get your attention, okay? I like what this person said. It was from Howard Carter. He said, it's the poetry of the Spirit. Prophecy is the poetry of the Spirit. You may not be a poetic person, but when you yield to the gift of prophecy, you become a poet and you didn't know it. So it's the poetic language of the Spirit. And obviously, if someone is a prophet, they're going to operate in the gift of prophecy. But now let me ask you this question. Just because you operate in the gift of prophecy, does that make you a prophet? No. A prophet is an office, and prophecy, a prophet is a ministry gift too. It's a calling of God. If you are a prophet, God will tell you. Amen? And if you are a prophet, those gifts will be manifested in the ministry. All right? So the greater always includes the lesser. And, you know, this is a sudden and unexpected thing. You might think of prophecy this way. It's the free and spontaneous, edifying, exhorting, and comforting message given to people from heaven. I like that. It's the free and spontaneous, edifying, exhorting, and comforting message that comes from heaven. How many know that God speaks? Amen? And he's still speaking. Oftentimes when people were filled with the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts, they prophesied. They began to speak with inspired utterance as well as speaking in tongues. Okay? The gift of prophecy can strike deep in your soul. And in a sense, it can cause your soul to vibrate. In other words, when someone speaks with prophecy, it's going to bear witness with you if it's true from God. Amen? Now, Brother Hagin, who stood in the office of a prophet, when he prophesied to people, he would always say, well, if that bears witness with you, fine. If not, just put it on the shelf. Okay? But it's going to strike a chord on the inside of you. And I can remember times in my own life when I was in the Czech Republic and a Swedish evangelist, we were having a little Bible study, and all of a sudden he turned to me and he was like speaking to me, and in that moment, for like 45 minutes, I was just shaking like this. It was like while he was speaking, God was pouring his power out on me and just bearing witness. He was saying things about my future and about what God was going to use me to do. And there was another time when I was in Knoxville, Tennessee. I was preaching a message there, and the pastor called me up, and he just began to speak some things to me. He was inspired by God to say those things to me, and they bore witness to my heart. And there were several other times in my life when God just chose to speak to me in the moment through someone else. That's the gift of prophecy. Amen? And we can seek and desire the, you know, if you look at the life of Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14, the Bible said, do not neglect the gift which is in you, which was directly imparted to you by the Holy Spirit by prophetic utterance. When the elders laid their hands upon you at your ordination. That's from the Amplified. So God used the prophetic utterance to put something into Timothy that he needed to do what God called him to do. How many has ever been encouraged by a prophetic word? Amen? You know, they don't come every day. I mean, if you want a prophetic word every day, you got one right in your hands. Amen. You know, the spirit of prophecy, what is it? The spirit of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. I forget how it says in Revelation, that phrase. Okay, so the gift of faith, the gifts of healing. Did I do four of them tonight? Wow, I got ahead of myself. Praise God. So this is your spiritual equipment. Let's just look to the Lord for just a minute. Father God, we come before you in the name of Jesus, and we're so grateful, Father, that you have equipped us for the work that you've called us to. You've given us everything that we need for what you are directing us. So, Father, we're so grateful for these gifts. Lord, we seek and desire, we covet, we earnestly go after these gifts, Father. We expect them to operate. Father, we yield ourselves that they can operate through us. Father, we are led by your Holy Spirit. And we give you thanks and praise for working out your will in our lives, leading us on the path of righteousness for your namesake. Lord, I give you thanks and praise. I pray, Father, that by revelation, you would begin to help us to be accustomed to these gifts operating in the name of Jesus. Lord, we say, let your spirit have his way in my life. Lord, do whatever you want to do. Lead me to wherever you want to lead me. However you want to use me, Lord, I'm yours. Make that commitment to God right now. Make yourself available to God to be a vessel of honor. You know, and being a vessel of honor means you might have to get rid of some things. You might have some junk in the drawers. There's always a drawer in a house that has, it's designated the junk drawer, amen? But we don't need any of those drawers in our hearts. So, just make some adjustments in how you think. Believe that God can use you. Have faith in the fact that God loves you and he wants to use you to reach other people. And he is so gracious to provide us with this equipment, supernatural equipment, powerful equipment. And Lord, I just thank you for increasing the use of these gifts here, Father, in all these people here tonight. Lord, I thank you for building their faith. Lord, for helping us understand what these gifts are and how they operate. And we give you thanks and praise and glory, Father, that you're a real God. We love, praise, and adore you with all of our hearts. Let's just praise the Lord. Oh, we bless you, Lord. Praise your holy name. Oh, we give you thanks and praise and glory. We bless you, Lord. We magnify you. We worship you. We bless your holy name. Father, we just give you our all. We look to you, Jesus, as the author and the finisher of our faith. You're the strength of our life. Oh, we love you, Lord. We bless your holy name. Praise your holy name, Lord Jesus. We give you thanks and praise and glory. We magnify you. We worship you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Interpretation of tongues next week. Amen? And we're going to see God do great things. Supernatural things. I don't know about you, but I'm ready for a suddenly. Suddenly. There he was. Suddenly an angel appeared. Suddenly God just shows me, "Woo, God, I like that." You know, when God gives you a revelation, it becomes real to you. And if you have a revelation of something, you don't necessarily have to experience that thing. Because a revelation really is greater than experience. Experience is a lesser way to get to learn things than revelation is. Amen? Because how many know Peter and Andrew and James and John, they didn't go to school, but yet people recognized that they were with Jesus. And don't say I'm against school. I went to school. I have a degree. Amen? Nothing wrong with that. But I also have revelation too. Just don't get an education at the expense of revelation. Amen. Allow God to reveal things. Do you realize this wasn't part of, but I got to say this. George Washington Carver. You know how he found so many uses of a peanut? Because he prayed to God. God, look at what he did with a peanut. If he can find uses for a peanut, what do you think you can learn by revelation? God is good. Have a great night.